Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Friday, April 14, 2023. Sudanese politicians comment on the showdown between the country's military leaders.
They have one unified objective, that is ruling the country through the military coup. That is the control of the army.
And officials in Unity State say they will allow the cleaning of River Nam.
What we are doing, let the South Sudanese know that it is not deep water. There are excavations, it's not the removal of sediment, it's not the removal of anything. What we are doing is simply removing the plantations that grow on top of the water.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Representatives of the Troika countries, the European Union, as well as France and Germany, expressed deep concern over the heightened military tension between Sudan's army and the paramilitary rapid support forces. Troika called on military and civilian parties to work to de-escalate tensions. The Western envoy said now is the time to reach a final political agreement to establish a civilian-led democratic government that fulfills the aspirations of the people of Sudan. Nabil Biagio reached Saleh Mahmoud, member of the Communist Party of Sudan and president of the Darfur Bar Association, to get his reaction on this situation.
A recent escalation has its own reasons and roots. Although the military component, which is composed of the regular military and the rapid support force, they have one unified objective, that is ruling the country through the military coup. That is the control of the army. They are also in agreement about the issue regarding that they will establish a civilian-led government, provided it would be a weak government. It will be like a false facade for civilian-led authority, not very genuine, that the military would have the upper hand. This is why they agree that they have common interest ruling the country the way they are doing. Differences started to appear when the proposal of the merging of these two components started in the workshop of the security sector workshop, if you remember.
Yes.
So the plan was that Rapid Support Force would be merged into the National Regular Army. And this is what Hemeti, the commander of this Rapid Support Force, has his fears and reservations if he is if the Rapid Support Force now becomes part of the National Regular Force, that means impliedly he will lose his grip on his financial institutions, which are very independent at this moment. All these institutions will become the property of the National Regular Forces. Another difference is that when he has his fears also that when situation, this escalation continues, that means there is a possibility of confrontation. If there is a confrontation, he has fears that Burhan will benefit from the fact that the Egyptian government is supporting him. And then Hemeti sees a big threat about the presence of the Egyptian force in Marawi. Military force. So he took the initiative to go resolve this situation of the air base that is still under the control of the Egyptian army. That is the objective, that is the purpose. This is the obvious cause of this escalation of between the two factions.
Now, yesterday, representatives of the Troika countries, as well as the European Union and France and Germany, they expressed deep concern over the tensions in Sudan, and they called on military and civilian actors in Sudan to step in and reduce the heightened tension and expedite the process of starting a transition to civilian and democratic government. What can civilians and pro-democracy opposition do? What role do they have to play, and what are you guys doing?
The concerns of the Troika and the European countries, the USA, are related to the fact that this escalation itself and the new situation is threatening the political process that is called the framework agreement.
The framework agreement.
This is now, yes, is now, this is a real threat to that process. And actually, I can tell you now, this process has practically been very much affected by these recent developments between the military and the rapid support force. The military and the FFC have no legitimacy. They are not credible to talk about issues that you have seen when they established these five workshops. So our only way is that the military should transfer power to a civilian-led authority. That is the way out.
That's Mahmoud Salih, member of Communist Party. He spoke with Nabil Biagio from Khartoum this past hour. And now we move to South Sudan, where the country's signatory of the 2018 peace agreement, the SPLM-IO, says the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, or IGAD, should advise President Salva Kiir to reinstate Angelina Teng as defense minister. SPLM-IO's director of information says his party expects the IGAD ministers to remind President Kiir about the importance of implementing the 2018 peace deal. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Juba.
IGAD's Council of Ministers are expected to attend an extraordinary meeting in Juba next week to discuss peace and security, national disasters and humanitarian issues. South Sudan's acting Minister for Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation, Deng Dao Deng, says the meeting will discuss important issues in the IGAD's region.
South Sudan is hosting this meeting because it is member state that hosts such kind of meeting, depending on the agreed timetable and agreed meeting. And so the meeting will be held on Tuesday. And it's a clear issue that will discuss two main items, the regional peace and security in the IGAD region, and then the national disasters and humanitarian issues.
SPLM-IO's Director of Information, Pok Both Baluang, says his party had earlier written to IGAD calling for intervention after President Salva Kiir fired the Minister of Defense and Veteran Affairs, Angelina Teng, who is from the SPLM-IO. He says the IGAD Council of Ministers meeting should consider looking into what he calls violations of the 2018 peace agreement.
We wish the meeting also will call upon President Salva to call off the recent violations, namely the remove of the Minister of Defense and Veteran Affairs, Honorable Angelina Teng, and the swap of the Ministry of Defense and Veteran Affairs with the Ministry of Interior. These violations, these are of a grave violations of the agreement, and also they are a unilateral decision by President Salva Kiir, and there was no consensus concerning these decisions as is stipulated in the agreement.
But Acting Foreign Affairs Minister Deng says upcoming IGAD Council of Ministers meeting will focus on regional issues. Deng says the dispute between President Kiir and SPLM-IO can be resolved by the two parties.
We cannot discuss the situation now in the member state, whatever the situation, are considered as including issues that there are mechanisms with member state country to resolve them. We are aware that our president and the first vice president are discussing these matters amicably, and they have found some of the solutions, among which is the revocation of the removal of the speaker of general state, which was an issue also. And the remaining part is something that they are working on. We believe that we will resolve it very soon.
But Baluang says the implementation of South Sudan's 2018 revitalized peace agreement is facing challenges.
There's a need for the parties, precisely the SPLM-IG, to show political will and commitment to implement the peace agreement as the country moving forward to implement the peace agreement. It is the only way that we can attain stability in our beloved South Sudan. Lastly, we would like to reiterate our full commitment to the implementation of the peace agreement.
Balwang says he hopes IGAD will continue supporting the parties to the 2018 peace deal and addressed any violations by the signatories. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Juba.
Authorities in South Sudan's Unity State say the cleaning of River Nam, a tributary of the River Nile, is expected to start next week. A press secretary of the governor of Unity State says the clearing of the River Nam will reduce flooding and improve livelihood of residents of Unity State. For VOA News, Lech Nyak Jok reports from Bentiu.
The Egyptian government donated several equipment, including excavator, in 2022 for dredging activities on Nam River. The result was delayed due to a pressure from civil society activists and environmentalists who criticized the government's plan to clear and clean the river. Some lawmakers and residents in Unity State say the dredging of River Nam should continue to control the flooding, while the other opposed the initiative, saying it would affect the ecosystem in the area. Civil society activists, members of the academia, and some government officials recommend a scientific and environmental assessment to determine the impact of the exercise. The Minister of Land and Housing in Unity State, Lam Tungwar, say the state government has an obligation to clear a reed from the river to control flood.
What we are doing, let the South Sudanese know that there is not deep water. There are excavations, it's not the removal of sediment, it's not the removal of anything. What we are doing is simply removing the plantations that grow on top of the water, but that will just let the flow of water goes directly. I think that the idea of the leadership within the national government that the state is implemented. We are not in any way outside our jurisdiction at this moment, and we are following what has been told by the government to do, and that's exactly what we are supposed to do. Anything else, forget this population. There is no dredging, there is nothing, there is no excavation along the Nile, there is nothing that will affect our suit environment.
Peter Bakun is a press secretary of the governor in Unity State. Bakun ruled out any concern about impact of the exercise. He said cleaning the river will reduce flooding in the area.
I think the people of Unity State and the government are very happy. We have been triggered by this flood, and our people have been displaced. Almost 90% of the state population has been displaced. So we see this is the only way for us to rescue our people from this situation. You know, even our lands where our people cultivate has already been submerged by water. Our people's livestock have also died, many of them. And our people have been displaced in big number. So there is a means of mitigating this plot. So I think as the government and the people, we are happy for this clearing of Nile to start, because we see this the way forward for people to live.
Bakun say flooding caused by overwhelming of the river Nam affected road infrastructure, people livelihood, and local food production. But some residents in Unity State and civil society activists have expressed a mixed reaction to the cleaning of River Nam. Thor Ioannis is executive director of a non-profit called the Climate Change and Adaptation Smart Action. He says he welcomes the decision to clear the river, but caution the government of South Sudan about the impact of the exercise.
I want to ask the government to really put measures in place before embarking on a project that will cause more destruction to the environment, and that will also cause more lost people's lives. And this should be an open discussion to every citizen, the civil society, the community. These are the people that are mostly affected by this project. So it should not be a secret car project that the government owns by itself and imposed on people. The people must rise up and demand for their rights. Any government project they are the final consumers and they are the final people that are that feel the effect, whether negatively or positively.
Nyalo Roots are one of the internet displaced person sheltering at Bentiu IDP camp say he believes that Israel will control flooding, which he said has affected many people.
It is good that the clearing be done so that water can flow directly to the main river. Because when we came here, we were suffering a lot. There are a lot of people who have died here. But when we were in the remote village, we used to survive through cultivation. There were no more people dying. We were good. But now we are suffering because we were displaced by water.
The United States government says the clearing and cleaning of the river Nam will be completed soon. In July 2022, President Salva Kiir ordered the suspension of all dredging activities in the country until evidence-based studies are carried out on the impact of the project last year. For BA News, I'm Liel Nyaja, reporting from Bentiu, United States.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Ghana becomes the first country in Africa to approve malaria vaccine. Find out why after the break.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. U.S. President Joe Biden is in his ancestral home, Ireland, where he will spend 2 days meeting with leaders and family members. Earlier on Wednesday in Belfast, Northern Ireland, he urged for the collapsed power-sharing government to be reinstalled. In a speech hailing 25 years of peace in the region under the Good Friday Agreement, Patsy Wadikwasara reports.
For an American president who loves to highlight his Irish heritage, it was a homecoming.
Every time I've come, the welcome, the people on the streets, they're just so gracious to us.
Thousands of people lined up to catch a glimpse of Joe Biden.
Even though it's raining in Ireland, the sun's shining, really, in our hearts. And there's no show like a Joe show.
Biden toured Carlingford Castle, the last Irish landmark his great-great-grandfather Owen Finnegan saw as he sailed for New York in 1849. Biden spoke with locals, retelling the story of Finnegan and Joseph Kearney, former President Barack Obama's great-great-grandfather, both shoemakers from nearby counties who emigrated to the U.S. around the same time.
In all their dreams, I'm not sure they could have imagined that 175 years later, both their great-great-grandsons would be president of the United States of America, Barack Obama and Joe Biden.
Earlier Wednesday, across the border in Belfast, Northern Ireland, Biden hailed 25 years of peace under the Good Friday Agreement that ended the conflict over whether the region should unify with Ireland or remain part of the United Kingdom. He urged for the power-sharing government that has collapsed under boycott and political infighting to be restored.
As a friend, I hope it's not too presumptuous for me to say that I believe democratic institutions established through the Good Friday Agreement remain critical to the future of Northern Ireland.
If power sharing is restored, he suggested more investments from American companies will come, a message echoed by British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak.
We talked about the investment potential that is there, the companies that want to invest in Northern Ireland. I think that's incredibly exciting. It will bring growth, jobs and prosperity to Northern Ireland. And I know he shares my ambition to see the institutions here back up and running. That's what people and businesses in Northern Ireland deserve.
On Thursday, Biden holds talks with Irish leaders, ending his trip with a Friday night speech in Ballina, home of his paternal ancestors on the west coast of Ireland. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News, Washington.
But it's never okay to question their motive.
From Washington, we move to Accra, where Ghana has become the first country to approve a new malaria vaccine described as world changer by scientists who developed it at the University of Oxford. The mosquito spread parasitic disease kills more than 600,000 people every year. The majority are children in sub-Saharan Africa. Ken Mensah reports from Accra.
A statement issued Wednesday by Oxford University says its new malaria vaccine, called R21, has secured regulatory approval by Ghanaian officials for use in the age group at highest risk of death from malaria, children aged 5 to 36 months. Malaria is an endemic disease in Ghana. The West African country's health service says it accounts for 38% of all outpatients, with the most vulnerable groups being children under 5 years of age. Dr. Katie Iwa, head of malaria immunology and professor of vaccine immunology at the Jenner Institute at the University of Oxford.
We've tested a lot of vaccines, and to be here now to have a vaccine that has been approved for use in Ghana is fantastic. It's what we've all been working very hard towards. So R21 has higher efficacy, about 75% in the data from the phase 2 trial. We think perhaps the durability of the response is better as well.
Ghana was one of three African countries in 2019 to have piloted the first malaria vaccine, known as RTS-S. But public acceptance of the vaccine, according to health officials, was somewhat below target due to hesitancy among parents linked to a fear of the unknown. Iwa says having more malaria vaccines now on the market helps parents make a better choice.
Having more than one vaccine available is a really good thing. So I think it's good news that we've now got a second malaria vaccine approved. And so people can trust that these vaccines are safe to use. And I hope that people trust the vaccine and will take it up and see for themselves the effect it has.
The World Health Organization says a child dies every minute from malaria in Africa, where it is estimated that 9 out of 10 malaria deaths occur. It is hoped that the new vaccine will help Ghanaian and African children combat malaria. Dr. Nana Yaopipra, the head of the National Malaria Control Program in Ghana, told VOA that the Oxford vaccine is coming at the right time.
The vaccine has a role in the elimination agenda because it reduces the risk of people having the disease and also its severe form. And the vaccine are for children. If you allow your child to be given this vaccine, the risk of this child, which is actually in the vulnerable group, of the risk of getting malaria really reduces.
Nearly half of the world's population is at risk of malaria. In 2020, an estimated 241 million people in 85 countries contracted malaria. That same year, the WHO says the disease claimed approximately 627,000 lives. Kent Mensah for VOA News, Accra, Ghana.
We love to hear your remarks on issues in this broadcast. My colleague Nabil Biagio is ready with this week's listener comments. Over to you, Nabil.
Thank you, John. We start with some voice notes some listeners sent us.
I am Akwal Ajit Michael from Borsam Jonglei State. I don't understand why our brothers in South Sudan want South Sudan to be known as the most violent country on earth. Where on this dear, on our dear planet, can somebody chop off the eyes of his daughter? It's something unbecoming. Something unbecoming. And for those of us who have daughters, I don't specifically understand how this man can do this. The question is the girl his daughter? This is unbelievable. In my opinion, this guy deserves to be punished. To be punished harshly for what he has done. Thank you.
Jacob Dior Machuang from Ural in Lake State says, good evening, South Sudan in Focus. I was shocked when the Central Equatoria State Governor announced this week a house tax in Juba. In my opinion, it is not a right decision because Juba City Council collects millions of South Sudanese pounds monthly for cleaning Juba while it remains the dirtiest city in East Africa. We are always ashamed when we receive the diplomats from other countries. This fan says, hello, VOA. My name is Both Bim Dothai in Mangaten IDP camp. I am here to extend and express my sincere contentment to VOA News because it is the only channel we are proud of. Without VOA News, we cannot feel as the citizens of this country. Thank you so much for your cooperation, and we're always very proud of your reliable source and your services. May God bless you all. Saber Isaac Khamis in Yambi of Western Equatoria State says, hi Nabil and Tanza. Police officer Angelo Agany must be served his punishment for the inhuman act he has done to his biological daughter of attempting to destroy her eyes. As a parent, I feel shocked and very disappointed with Angelo because whatsoever the circumstance of emotion, no need to act in such a way on your own child. Let the law take its course because anybody in conflict with the law must face the law. My solidarity with the little girl and wish well-wishers will support the medication process. Thanks. Ngoro Oliver from Meridi in Western Equatoria State writes, hi John and Nabil. Our people are suffering from the hardship of the exchange rate of foreign currency. Things in the market will be an issue if this reaches up to 2024. Only God knows about the people of South Sudan. Thanks. This fan says, hello VOA presenters. I'm Jackson in Juba City. I am urging the City Council to address the issue of garbage collection before the rainy season to prevent an outbreak of cholera. Peter Goj Anyang Majongdul in Sharikat Juba says, the national government should intervene to solve the ongoing conflict along Juba Bor Highway, which had claimed scores of lives and brought transport to its knees since the conflict erupted early this week. Mading Malwal Alwong in Juba writes, the news of the gouging of a young lady's eyes out by her father, Agany Kurachwil, sent shocking waves to many God-fearing human beings across the globe. It has left me shocked, tormented, and exceedingly speechless. I wish there was any way I could have helped the young lady, Kwad Kurachwil, to escape unharmed. Many people across South Sudan, as well as outside, lamented. If this was how Dinka culture is, the Dinka people would without regard to clan sections were blamed and thought by others as the most savage and brutal humans. James Roy Majok from Unity State's Bantu Town says, I am appealing to Tonj County authorities to apprehend the father of the small girl whose eyes were brutally removed because she had refused a man who was being planned by her father to marry her. Whoever committed crimes against humanity will be held accountable to face the law. Despite that, the South Sudan government does not follow its constitution since its independence in 2011.
That's all we prepared for you on this Friday. We now leave you with the song Junubia by Mawa.
Gonna let me go. She just told me, boy, I love you. I don't wanna spend another day without you. No better good, rise or fall. Every day she woke me some more. The best thing ever happened to me. Better than anything before. Kalamal Gali, you my girl. Makes me feel like I own the world.
We've been listening to Mawa and the song Junubia. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't forget to visit voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you miss this program, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. On behalf of our producer Nabil Biagio and engineer Chang, we wish you a good evening. Remember to join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Junubia